You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
If the law can't save us, then what good is it? Well, that's what Dr. J. Vernon McGee discusses today in our continuing study of the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 3. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as you hop aboard the Bible bus and find your seat, Greg and I have got an update on a country that, well, frankly, we don't talk about very much.
Yeah, actually, Steve, it thrills me when you say that, and I'll tell you why. Because our commitment is the whole word to the whole world, not just the parts that are real responsive or easy.
Yeah.
And when we say that we're talking about a country that we don't hear much about or talk much about, don't forget, we are there every day with the Word of God. And the country we want to talk about this week is Portugal, because our world prayer team is traveling through Southern Europe. And here are some other countries maybe people don't think much about or hear much about. We're talking about Croatia, Montenegro, Italy, Serbia, and of course, today we want to just share a bit about our ministry in Portugal.
Yeah, and I think it's important for listeners to realize the level of commitment that we've got to these ministries. I mean, Portugal, it's not like it's a new country for us. We've been there since 2003,
yeah,
which
20 years.
20 years of ministry there. And in fact, I believe our fine producer, Nathan, has teed up for us a brief clip of the Portuguese program.
Olá, caro amigo, estamos de novo no programa O Som do Livro. E eu creio sinceramente que esta próxima meia hora poderá mudar radicalmente a sua vida.
And, you know, that gives you a little taste. You can always go on our website, ttb.org, and find many, many different audio renditions of Dr. McGee's teaching. What I find interesting is sometimes we play something, say, from an African country, and it's really upbeat.
Yeah.
and then we play something from one of the East Asian or Southeast Asian, and it's got this sort of music that to us sounds very foreign. And the key thing is, what we call these are not translations of Dr. McGee. They are cultural adaptations. But the theology does not get changed.
Right, right. And, you know, like all parts of the world, Portugal has its own set of challenges, particularly an aging church. Mm-hmm. And there's really, historically, at least recently, a lack of interest from those who are under 40. So they're, in a sense, losing their younger generation, which much of Europe has done as well.
Yeah, and even those that identify, it's really a cultural faith, you know, it's, and that we see that all over the world with very different religions. But of course, we're always encouraged to look for those gleams of light that God is reaching people. So you want to share this one from Lucio?
Yeah, it's Lucio and São João da Pasqueira.
Yeah, you're getting good at these foreign pronunciations.
There we go. I enjoy listening to your Bible study. I have learned a lot. I was an assiduous member of the church, which I believe means hardworking or
disciplined,
committed.
Disciplined, hardworking,
Here close to home. I even sang in the choir. But lately, I have been disenchanted with the church and what I see in the lives of Christians. So I thank you for the teaching you have brought us. I have learned like never before.
And I think this points out a very significant way God uses our ministry, which is we support the local church.
Yes.
And we encourage people to go to Bible-believing churches. But if, like this person, they leave the church, we are still speaking to them from the Scriptures.
Right.
And often they come back.
Yeah.
So that I remember we had a staff member who was thinking about joining our team, and he was very concerned about ministry in the local church. And now he doesn't ask that question anymore, because he sees it every day how we minister in and through local churches.
Yep.
Okay, now here's Carlota in Coimbra, who tells us, "Hi, it's me again. I want to thank you for the programs. I am spreading the word among my neighbors. They love them too. We've even started a group here to study the Bible." And, you know, we talk about our home group ministry,
but
this is the Holy Spirit-driven home group ministry in Portugal.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to when we're going to have those Bible companions out in all those different languages as well. Greg, I don't think we're going to have time. Unfortunately, we've got more testimonies from Portugal, but let's pray as we begin our program. Why don't you open us?
Father, thank you that your word is going out all over the world, thanks to the faithfulness of our prayer supporters and those who are able to give. We thank you that we can just hold out your word every day in all of these countries around the world and see these encouraging moments of hope that your word is transforming lives no matter where people live. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now let's open to Galatians 3 as we begin our study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee on Through the Bible.
Now today, friends, we come back here to Galatians, the third chapter, and we put in at verse 24. And let me look at this and read it. Wherefore the law not was, but is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now we've come to a very remarkable section here, and I say that every day, I think, but it's true every day, and it certainly is true today. This is the reason right through here that Martin Luther could say, this is my epistle, I'm wedded to it. It's in this section here that that young man, John Wesley, who'd come to this country as a missionary, and he was walking down Aldersgate, because when he came to this country, he said, I came to America to convert Indians. But who's going to convert John Wesley? And that night, he heard this section of Galatians explained, and my, did wonders for him. And he was used of God to bring in the greatest spiritual movement that the English-speaking world has ever had. Now, will you note here, he's going to say, and does say, that God refuses to accept the works of any man for salvation. He says the righteousness of man's filthy rags in his sight. And in Romans 4:5, he made it very clear, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, God refuses to accept law keeping. God refuses today to accept that. Paul's making it very clear here that the law could not save you. All it did was bring death. And fact of the matter is, the law was not given to save sinners. It was given to show them that they are lost sinners. We are told in verse 19 that we saw last time, it was added for the sake of transgressions. Let you know that you're a sinner. And therefore, the law, as we've said, will not remove sin. It'll reveal sin. Now, I want to use an illustration that I think might be helpful. It's a very homely illustration, and don't be afraid of it. I'm going to take you to the bathroom. I hope you don't misunderstand. I'll take you to your bathroom. I'm confident that every one of you listening to me at this moment, that you have at home a bathroom in which you have a wash basin, and above that wash basin, a mirror. Now, that wash basin serves a purpose, and the mirror serves a purpose. Now, you get a smudge spot, say, on your face, and you go in the bathroom, you look in the mirror, you see that smudge spot. Now, what do? Well, you don't use the mirror to remove it, do you? I don't imagine you do. If you see a smudge spot, then you lean over and rub your face against the mirror, and one of your loved ones comes by and sees you. They'll feel sorry for you and call a psychiatrist and make an appointment just to find out what's wrong with you. But my friend, that just wouldn't happen in a home, because we're not that silly. I guess none of us are quite that silly of rubbing up against the mirror. But today we've got multitudes of people in our churches that are rubbing up against the mirror of the law of God and thinking they're going to remove it. You don't remove the spot by rubbing against the mirror. You see, the law reveals, the Word of God is a mirror, and it shows us who we are and what we are, that we are sinners and that we've come short of the glory of God. That's what the law reveals. Now, thank God, beneath the mirror there's a basin. That's where you remove the spot. And my friend, the mirror is the Word of God. And the law is the mirror that you just don't rub up against. It just shows us. But thank God, beneath that mirror, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. So there is a wash basin, and the law proves man a sinner and never makes him a saint. The law was given, as Paul says in Romans, that every mouth might be stopped and a whole world become guilty before God. Now will you notice verse 24, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster. Now what does he mean by that? He goes on to say, verse 25, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now the word is pedagogus, and it doesn't mean school teacher. It's schoolmaster here, and that's a good word, but it meant something quite different back in the days of Paul. In the Roman household, there were certain servants that had charge of the children. For instance, there was a servant that had charge of the man's chattels, such as his plows, his chariots, and his livestock. Then there was a servant that had charge of the man's bookkeeping, his personal affair, his bank deposit, his bonds, and that sort of thing. Then there was the servant that had charge of his children. Now, that servant in the Roman home, he took the little one born in the home. He raised him. He's the one who changed his dieties. He's the one who blew his nose. He's the one that changed his clothes. He's the one that fed him. He's the one that spanked him, and he's the one that fed him. And then there came a day when the little fella was ready to go to school, and this pedagogus took him by the hand and led him to school and turned him over to the school teacher. Now, that's where the word pedagogus gets its name. Now, that word ped there at the beginning, we get our word pedal from it. It has to do with the feet down here. And ago means to lead. That means simply this, that this servant took that little child by the hand and led him to school and turned him over to the school teacher. You see, that's a pedagogus. Now, the law was a pedagogus. The law took you and me by the hand, brought us to the cross of Christ, and said, little fella, there's your Savior. You're to trust him. You see, the law was to lead us to Christ. Now, we come here to a very wonderful section. Not that we haven't been in one, but verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is going to show in the remainder of this chapter, and also in chapter 4, the first part of it, some of the benefits that come to us by trusting Christ that we could never get under law. In other words, the law never did give a believer the nature of a son of God. Christ can do that. And only faith in Christ can today make us sons of God. And that's the only thing that will. Law never made us son of God. Now let's look at this for just a moment. He says, for ye are all the children. I'd like to change that. And I think it's in this New Scofield Reference Bible. They have changed that to son. And I'm glad they made that change, because the Greek word is weos, and it means sons. And I used to say legitimate sons of God. And somebody came to me and said, are there any other kind of children that God has other than legitimate? Well, that's accurate. He doesn't have but one kind. That's legitimate sons of God. And friends, I just use it for emphasis, therefore. You are made a legitimate son of God by faith in Christ, and that's all that it takes. Not faith plus something equals salvation, but faith plus nothing makes you a son of God, and nothing else will make you a son of God. Now, will you notice this? For ye are all the sons of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. Not faith plus something else, but faith. And have you ever noticed that the individual Israelite back in the Old Testament with the law was never a son of God? God called the nation Israel his son. He says, Israel, my son. Now, the corporate nation was looked at as a son and also called the elect nation. But that elect nation was generally just a remnant. And the individual Israelite was never called a son of God. What was he called? He was called a servant of Jehovah, or a servant of God. Now, you have, for instance, Moses. How did God speak of Moses? Now, Moses was on very intimate terms with God. And God said to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's what he said at the end. That's his epitaph. That's the best God could say of him. Moses, my servant. And then the man after God's own heart, David. God said to him, David, my servant. You see, even if you kept the law, friends, which you don't do, but even if you did, it would be your righteousness, and your righteousness would be actually inferior to the righteousness of God. It would not measure up to his righteousness, and it requires his righteousness, you see. And we are told now very definitely in the New Testament, John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the exousion power, the authority, the right to become the sons of God, even to those that don't do any more nor less than simply trust him, believe in his name. He said one night to a religious ruler by the name of Nicodemus, was religious to his fingertips, and he had a God-given religion. It had gone to seed, but he was following that meticulously. And our Lord said to him that night, ye must be born again. Nicodemus was not a son of God. He said to him, ye must be born again. And I want to make it very plain, and I want to be very dogmatic right here. Your prayers, your fundamental separation, and your gifts that you boast that you have today, and your baptism will never make you a son of God. The only thing that makes you a son of God is faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, I want to make this statement. It needs to be made today. And I don't want to be ugly, but I guess I am going to be ugly. My wife says, when you say you don't want to be ugly, you always turn around and you're ugly. Well, I guess that's what I'm going to be. Will you listen? The most damnable heresy that's ever been propagated in this world is the heresy of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. It is that teaching of liberalism that has caused this nation to spend and give away about 340 some odd billions of dollars throughout the world. And our insides are hated today throughout the world. Why? Because all of us are the children of God, you know. And we have sat down at council tables, these diplomatic squabbles, with some of the biggest rascals the world has ever seen. And we talk about that we are being honest and honorable, and that today we are all the children of God and we must act like sons of God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ never said anything like that. He looked at a group of religious rulers and he said to them, ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Now, I didn't say that. The gentle Jesus said that. Evidently, there was somebody in his day that was not a son of God. My friend, I think the devil still has a lot of children running around in this world today. They're not all sons of God. The only way you can become a son of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let's move on down. He says here in verse 28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And I just passed by verse 27. I'll have to pick it up. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I hope that you're not thinking that baptism here means water baptism. Water baptism is always the ritual baptism, and I believe in it. I believe in it with all my heart. And I think every believer should be baptized. And in my book, why today, although I was brought up at the beginning in the Methodist Church, and then I was in the Presbyterian Church, and I am an ordained Presbyterian preacher, actually, I believe in immersion. I think that it best represents the thing that is spoken of by real baptism, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you receive that the moment you trust Christ. What does that do? That takes you and puts you in a body of believers. Paul says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ. That means we are identified. We are put in reality and truth in the body of believers, the church. And he's saying here, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. You are seen in Christ. God sees you in Christ, and therefore he sees you perfect. And you can't add to that, by the way. Now, in this body of believers, there's neither Jew nor Greek. And this is the only thing that rubs out racial lines, is when you come to Christ. And any man in Christ is my brother. And I don't care what the color of his skin is. It's the color of his heart I'm interested in. And there are a lot of white people walking around with some very black hearts, my friend. And they just don't happen to be my brothers. I don't care what you say. And it's only in Christ that we're made one. And thank God today, and I rejoice, I get letters from people of every race now that the radio reaches out. And they call me brother, and I call them brother. Why? Because we are brethren. We're going to be together throughout eternity. We're in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. This matter of capital and labor, the only thing that could bring them together is Christ, of course. And there's neither male nor female. Now somebody says, wait a minute. Well, this gets rid of women's lib, by the way, because the only place you can be made one's in Christ. And until then, I'm sorry, ladies, but men are going to dominate this world. This is a man's world. Now, I'm getting trouble saying that, but that's just the way I look at it today. But you can be made one in Christ Jesus. We're all made one in Christ. How wonderful it is. Then he goes on to say, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. How? And heirs according to the promise. Well, because of the fact that Abraham was saved by faith, and we are saved by faith. Abraham brought a little sacrifice looking to the coming of Christ. He's already come now, and in point of time, I look back in history to the time he came, and I say 1900 years ago, the Son of God came, died on the cross for me that I might have life. And today I trust him, and I'm of Abraham's seed. I had the privilege of speaking to a group of wonderful Jewish folk some time ago, and I started in. I said, well, it's always a privilege to me to speak to the sons of Abraham. And they all smiled. And then I said, because I'm a son of Abraham too. And they didn't all smile then. In fact, some of them had sort of a question mark on their faces, and rightly so. Why? Because if I'm in Christ and you're in Christ, then we belong to Abraham's seed, and we're heirs according to the promise. How wonderful this is. Now Paul is going to discuss another way in which faith in Christ gives to us something that the law never could. And we find here in chapter 4 that it gives to us the position of sons of God. Now, only faith in Christ can give you the position. That is, bring you to the place of full maturation, where you can be full grown, where you can be an adult. And as Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, be men. He wrote to them at the beginning, and he said, you are babes in Christ, you're carnal. Now, when he gets over in the 14th chapter, he says, look, be men. Grow up now. Cut out the baby stuff. And he wants you and me to do that because he's put us in the position of a full-grown son. And somebody says, well, how does that work? Well, as you can see, it'll have to work next time because we're not going to be able to talk about it today. But next time, we're going to see how faith in Christ gives us the position of sons in God, and the works of the law could never do that for you and me. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
That's right. Next time, we'll learn how faith in Jesus Christ gives us the position as sons and daughters of God. How great is that? Be prepared by reading through chapter 4 of Galatians. Until then, you can be in touch at ttb.org or by calling us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. God bless you today as you walk with Him in His Word.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for our committed listening family who faithfully pray and invest in Through the Bible as we together take the whole Word to the whole world.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see.
Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m. And that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat the number, 732-434-2231. Our church service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. So now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, what a mighty, mighty service we had Sunday. Glory to God. I tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit was so evident there. And I tell you, there was a lot of people just glorifying God and thanking Him for everything that He's done for them during the course of the week. And I want to tell you today that He's right there where you are. If you love Him and want to give your heart to Him, He can do this very same thing that we experienced on Sunday. Praise God. Don't forget, we're the church in the city with the city in His heart. Praise God. We love you. We thank the Lord for the opportunity that we can just come into your homes and speak the truth of God's word. Because the Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. So if you keep your mind and heart on the word of God, the Lord will bless you. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Pray for our radio listeners and faith partners out there in Radio Land. We ask your blessings to be upon them each and every minute of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, we're talking about salvation. Praise God. We want to tell you that the Lord loves you. He's soon to come back. And I've been led, praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit that many people out there that have tuned into this broadcast from here and there, they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we want to do by the grace of God is to tell you that you don't have to be in a church building to get saved. Right where you are, you can get on your knees and tell the Lord Jesus Christ your problem. And He's the problem solver, and He will bring forth deliverance in your life, give you eternal life. That way everything will be according to His plan. Praise God. Well, let's look at what the Word of God says here today, because the God that we serve is a good God. He's the best. There's none like Him throughout this earth. We want to praise Him and thank Him for everything, because apart from Him, we can do nothing, nor do we have anything of any great significance, because He and He alone deserves all the honor and the glory. Praise God.
Amen.
All the honor and the glory. We lift Him up. He is the ascended Lord and the risen Savior. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that He loves you so much. He went to the cross of Calvary. All of your sins, sicknesses, griefs and sorrow, shortcomings, whatever the problem may be, He took it and nailed it to His cross so that you would have the opportunity to have eternal life, providing that you believe and trust in Him. Praise God. In St. John 1 and verse 12, Jesus speaking to John, it says that for as many as received Him. See, you have to receive Him. You have to open up your heart and ask Him to come in. He will not go against your will. He created us all as free moral agents. We have the choice if we want to have eternal life by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ come into our lives. So the word tells us there, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, our sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise God. Do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that he is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? If you do, praise God, ask him to come into your heart. He loves you and he wants to save you. It was a divine purpose of him coming into this world to deliver mankind back unto the Father. Minister Gloria, the scriptures tells us all that the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love and the thing that he's done for us all, that if we truly believe and trust in him, we can have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start after you die. You have eternal life now if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. What does it say in St. John 3 there, verse 16? Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Because when we believe what the Word of God is saying, glory to God, that God loves us so much. It was a divine purpose that he came into this world. It's not that he came because he didn't have anything else to do in heaven. He came because all humanity was lost. The world was full of sin. And still a lot of sin is going on. But if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. So,
John?
Yes.
3:16 says, "For God so loved the world,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Isn't that wonderful? This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will give you eternal life, providing that you would believe and trust in him. Praise God. And I want to tell you today that it's not about just going into some church building and singing songs, clapping your hands, and listening to a three-point message. It's more than that. God loves you so much that he came and he took your place there on the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. He took your place there on Calvary's cross, suffered sickness, disease, and grief and sorrow. He went through all of that so that you would have a right to the tree of life. Jesus is symbolic of the tree of life because in him is life. And if you have him today, you have eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. So God sent his Son in the world. He did that so that you and I would have the right to be saved. Praise God. You know, Jesus didn't come here to condemn this world. And Minister Gloria, would you read the 17th verse there? Because Jesus didn't come here to condemn us. We already were condemned. We didn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. But providing that when we begin to understand and receive him, listen to what he said in the 17th verse.
"For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
That the world through him might be saved. See, now I want to tell you something. Now that, you see, Buddha cannot save you. And there are a lot of folks that they're religious and they put their trust in Buddha. But I want to tell you today that the bones of Buddha is still in the grave. You see, but the one that I'm talking about today, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his bones are not in the grave. He is risen, praise God. And even with Hare Hare Krishna, the Indian God, let me tell you something. All these things that man has concocted and say, "Well, that's my God." Well, I tell you, the God that I serve, he's holy and he's righteous, and he never put the burden on me. He took the burden for me, praise God. You see, Hare Hare Krishna, bones are still in the grave. Oh, I want to tell you today, if you're listening to what I'm saying, his bones are still in the grave. You got even Muhammad, Mustafa Muhammad, bones are still in the grave. You see, all those immortal men that cannot give you eternal life. But the one that I'm speaking about today, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is eternal life. He is salvation. Glory to God. And I tell you that he didn't come in this world to condemn the world, only for the world to be saved, that the world might be saved through him. Do you want eternal life? It is a choice of your own. No one can force you. Jesus, he loves you, but he won't go against your will. He loved you so much until he will wait until you invite him in. Minister Glory, we were talking about a while back there that in Revelation 3 and verse 20, when Jesus was saying that Jesus, he stands at the door. And we're talking today about salvation. Because time is almost up. It's almost over. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, I pray to God that you would be right with him. You would bear his name. Have the authority that's been given to us through his name. And thank him for everything that he's done. Mr. Glory, would you read Revelation 3 and verse 20? Praise God.
It says, behold, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If, qualifier, any man hear my voice, and open the door of your heart. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
Isn't that wonderful? Mr. Glory, you know, he will not knock the door down.
No.
This is why it's so important that whatever problems that we may be going through, or you out there in Radio Land, if you're going through, extend the invitation to the one that makes the difference. The one that can change the total scenario. And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
You see, the door that he's standing behind is the door of your heart. Every one of us have the opportunity, praise God. And from that's figurative language, but the most important thing is that the door that he's standing behind or in front of, it has no doorknob. We often look at a door with doorknobs on the inside and on the outside. Well, the door, he doesn't have a door knob that he can turn that knob and come in. The doorknob is on the inside of the heart of the believer, or the one that's listening to what Jesus is talking about. So you're the only one that's able to open up that door, because he will never go against your will. If he knocked the door down and come in, then that means that he would go against your will and violate your free moral agency. But he doesn't do that. He waits for you to extend an invitation.
Amen.
Praise God. When you extend the invitation by opening up the door and allowing him to come in, because once the door is open,
yes,
then he is able to come in.
That's right.
And sup with you. And you with him.
Amen.
That's very powerful.
Yes.
That's why if you have problems out there in Radio Land today, regardless of the circumstances or the problems that you have, if you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into the situation that's going on in your life, he will come in and change that situation, providing that you open up the door of your heart. Isn't that wonderful, Minister Glory?
Wonderful.
You know, and the whole idea is that he's concerned about everybody.
Everybody.
No matter what problems you may have, he's concerned about it. A lot of folks say, well, it's too minute. I won't talk to God about it. Yes, speak to him. Because what happened is that there's nothing too small for him to be concerned about. He's concerned about everything.
Yes.
That's why he came into this world, to bring deliverance to all of our lives. Mr. Glory, you have something you want to share?
And that's to everyone. This invitation is to everyone.
Glory to God.
Not just the righteous. It's to everyone that believe on his name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, the scripture tells us that it's not just for us.
No.
And we cannot boast because we're born again and we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. No. There may be people out there that are in the same situation and conditions that we were in prior to our conversion.
Praise the Lord.
This is why we look back and we throw the life raft out to those that are out there that are sinking.
Yes.
You don't have to sink. You don't have to be in the condition that you're in. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will bring deliverance in your life. He will do just that. Praise the wonderful name of our God.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, Minister Glory, who was looking at the word where it tells us in Colossians 1, where he says that he has delivered us.
Okay.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
Folks don't have to stay in darkness.
Nope.
They don't have to live the life that are contrary to the word of God. Jesus came to bring deliverance. He came to save you. The scripture tells us that. Do you believe what the word of God is saying?
Amen.
That he came to save you. You know, in Galatians 4, verse 4,
yes.
Minister Glory, you know, that's a very prominent verse of scripture there that's, is good for us all, because there was a time when Jesus came. He didn't just come on his own. And there's going to be another time when he comes. The Father's going to send him to get his children.
Amen.
Praise God. And I pray to God that everybody out there in Radio Land, and even if you don't know him, you get yourself right with God and be one of his children. Praise God. You know, in Galatians 4, you want to read that?
And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman.
Yes.
Made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's
praise
wonderful.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, woo-hoo, glory, Abba, Father.
We can call him Daddy. We can call him Daddy because we belong to him. But those out there in Radio Land, there that you can't call him Daddy because you're not one of his children, but you can be. God is no respecter of person, and like I said, he loves you. Praise God. The scripture tells us that. The word of God tells us that. And when we abide in the word of God and believe what it says, you know, you may not be part of a church affiliation. You may be, maybe you don't even go to church. But I want to tell you, he still loves you, and he has given you the opportunity to hear the word of God so that you can make the decision to give your heart to him.
Amen.
You know, Minister Glory, it's not his will anyway that any perish.
Nope.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
God doesn't want you to perish.
He wants to come to repentance.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
In him is life.
Yes.
And this is why he wants you to have eternal life. Praise God.
Yes.
And the reason I'm speaking on eternal life here is because it's almost midnight. The curtain's almost about to close. And you know, in the natural, when they close the curtain, that means that the play is over. And here, from a spiritual standpoint, the time is almost over.
Amen. It is.
All the signs and the prophecies have been fulfilled.
Yes.
Even as I speak, it tells us that Jesus is soon to come.
Amen.
We don't know when he's going to come, and we don't know what he looks like, but we do know one thing, that when he comes back, we'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is.
Amen.
And I want you to see him as he is. But the only way that you can see him as he is that you have to be like him. Praise God. You have to be one of his children. Amen. Because he's coming back for the second time. Matter of fact, in Hebrew 9 and verse 28 there, Minister Glory, would you just read that for a moment?
Okay.
Since that popped up in my spirit. Because he's coming back the second time.
Yes.
Praise God. Without sin.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
Yes, he did.
And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God.
Amen. Praise
mm-hmm.
God.
Amen.
The second time. So he's He's coming back. Are you looking for him today? There are folks that are even confessing, carrying a Bible, and they are going to church. The question is, are you looking for him? Is your mind on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it just the mundane and humdrum way of life today, where you just taking things as it is instead of occupying until he comes? This is what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. As children of God. We occupy until he comes. Praise God. Because we know that he's coming back.
Yes.
Praise God. And we're trying, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak to as many people as we can to tell them to get right with God, to be reconciled back to God. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You have a verse of scripture you want to read?
First John 5. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Where it says, First John 5:11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And his Son is Jesus. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So you will not go back with him if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's coming back for a church, a holy church, without a spot or wrinkle or blemish.
Well, he's speaking of eternal life. There are a lot of people that have life. They're walking about. But the sad part about it is that they have life, but they are condemned. And you don't have to be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can condemn you. But it tells us there that if you don't believe on him, that you are condemned already. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to walk around with your grave clothes on. I say grave clothes, I'm talking about same clothes that Lazarus had on, to a certain extent there, grave clothes. You can get out of those grave clothes and get this white robe of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to give you. I know I'm speaking to some people out there, and some of you may not even address the issue concerning salvation. You would say, well, I'm doing good. I don't hate anyone. I don't have problems with my neighbors. I don't commit murder, or I don't speak evil of people. All these things that one will say.
Self-righteousness.
Yes, they're operating in a state of self-righteousness. But that won't get you into the kingdom of God. The only one that will get you into the kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheepfold. And the scripture tells us that if any man climbeth up any other way, he's a thief or a robber. You got to come through the door of the sheepfold. Isn't that wonderful, Mr. Gordon? Right.
Jesus said, he is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, he's the only one that's able to allow us to come in, to go in and out of the sheepfold. Praise God. I pray today that you would have a desire, not through forcing or having someone to force you to make an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that is not love. If someone forces you, that's not love. You come on your own volition. You look at what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. This is what you take notice of. And when you do that, and you see that he suffered the shame and all of the griefs and sorrow, he took your place there on Calvary, then you make the decision whether you want to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. There are a lot of folks today, they have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ in the truest sense. But I want to tell you, he loves you so much. This is why he went there on Calvary's cross, to die for your sin. That's what he's done. Die for my sins. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, Minister Glory, would you read that quickly so that we can get that verse of scripture in? Because I want to let you know that he didn't die just for the righteous.
For he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
So the whole world lies in sin, and this is why, not just the righteous. The scripture tells us that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to extend this invitation to you. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, as we close this broadcast, is vitally important that you hear these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
But first, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, did you hear that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Well, we thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning in to the broadcast. The only thing I request at the leading of the Holy Spirit is that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.